Welcome to the Smarticle Podcast, where we take a good article and make it gooder.
Hold on, everyone. Brandon's going to try and put on his happy face, which I might add looks a lot like he's got gas face. But first, your 5 seconds of silence brought to you by Smarticle. Just for the record, I want to be clear about this. What makes me happy, Brandon? It's when people like you rate, review, subscribe to the Smarticle Podcast. You tell a friend to listen to the Smarticle Podcast. I'm talking to you, 86-year-old mom. Who did you tell today to listen to the Smarticle Podcast? That's how I get happy, Brandon.
Oh, yeah, it makes me happy, too, when people write. We get some nice reviews. It's always nice. And also, people really look at them. They trust people that listen rather than two schmoes like ourselves telling people to listen. So it's nice. So write a review.
Happiness. Happiness Crash Course. Key lessons from Yale's Science of Wellbeing class. This is Anna Pauly, who wrote a post on Medium about taking the Yale Science of Wellbeing class. There's no woke. If you tell me there's a woke or MAGA.
No woke on this one. I don't even know where to put this because it's a blog post you found on Medium. So it was good, though. I will say this about this. I really enjoyed this post. I thought that it was really interesting.
I know you listen to the podcast. Stop listening to Smarticle for 5 seconds. I mean, Smartless, Brandon. I know you like to Will Arnett. Listen to this Dr. Lori Santos. The Happiness Crash Course is such a great podcast. Happiness is kind of generic, but this podcast anyway is great. Anyways, so Anna took this course taught by Dr. Lori Santos on Coursera. So you can go on there for free and take this course. I guess you can go to Yale. I guess that's what I'm saying, Brad. You can go to Yale.
Not in Yale. You're doing it online, Jack.
I know, but you're basically taking a class from Yale. So you're going to Yale.
Sure. You're a Yaleite, sure.
She says her happiness score went from 5.88 to 8.8 just by taking this happiness score.
Oh, she's almost a perfect 10.
All right.
She's like 1.2 away from being a 10.
Let's just go through quickly some of the major findings that she found from this class. First off, what doesn't make us happy? I feel like we know this. High-paying jobs do not make you happy, Brent.
Nope. You'd be like that dude from Zappos who ends up dead in his closet.
Which is great because, as you know, I don't get paid a lot on the Smarticle podcast.
No, we don't get paid a lot.
Bosspad Media is trimming the fat all the time.
Hey, I heard Pat Meadie's working hard to get us a raise. That's what I heard.
Having a lot of money does not make you happy, Brandon. That's surprising.
No, it doesn't surprise me at all. I mean, I think that the more you have, you know, it's sort of like we've talked about this ad infinitum. You are a guy that you don't want to have a lot of stuff because you haven't had room for a lot of stuff. Whatever things you have, she talked about one thing is, in lieu of stuff, have experiences, and I agree with her on that, 100%.
This one is great. I freaking love this. Technological and social advancements do not make us happier. We are no happier on average today than we were 40 years ago. That is fascinating.
I believe that we're probably more unhappy than we were 40 years ago.
I feel like I'm taking that to say we're not. It's the same.
Yeah. Well, no. I'm sure it's the same, but what I'm saying is that the things that it said, it's going to make your life better. If anything, it's made it worse, and it's probably more even. That's all I'm saying.
This is so great. I can't wait for your Yentas. Yentas, please send the emails to BrandonDoble@gmail.com. True love is not going to make you happy. Married people are happier than singles for 1 to 2 years. Then that happiness returns to baseline, and in some cases becomes worse.
Oh, well, of course, because a marriage is a partnership, and it's hard.
Hold on. I saw Princess Bride. True love matters.
True love. Yeah, true love.
So that true love's not making you happy, Brandon.
No, true love, because it's a fleeting thing. It's in the moment. And if you've been with anybody for a long, I mean, I think that's the difference. We're not going to, this is not a show about love, romantic love.
It isn't.
Or no,
but you're
going to
take us
love.
That way for a minute anyway.
No, I'm not. I'm just saying that that's, anybody that's been married knows that it's not the panacea to true happiness.
I got to get to this. You know what else is not going to make you happy, Barney? A perfect bod.
Oh, it makes me happy having a perfect bod.
I just love that.
I feel so good about myself. I think that the only thing I would disagree with this, I do agree with her, but I think physical fitness can lead to have make you happier. And what I mean by that is being fit, being able to. I noticed that I went skiing with my daughter this weekend, and I haven't skied in a long time, and I'm old, and it hurt. And I was like, well, that sucks. I've got to get in better shape because I do not. So there is something about being able to do the things you want to do by being physically fit that can lead to happiness.
Okay, so in relation to all that, in part because of something our brains are wired to do called hedonic adaption, which is basically that we get used to the things pretty quickly. So yeah. Money, cars, shedding 10 pounds can make us a little bit happier temporarily, but then we adapt to them and then we start comparing ourselves to something that we were or used to be or could become again.
Yeah, we've talked about the people that buy a new car every 2 years. I'm just like, why? Why are you doing that? What is it about it? And I think that they just think, oh man, I've got to have this new Tesla or I've got to have this new whatever. But, you know, insert brand new car here. It's like, okay. I mean, if that's what you want to do.
Okay, listen, I'm going to Yale and I love this class because here's the stat, Brandon. 40% of our happiness is under our control. 40%. That is not determined by genetics or life circumstances.
Right.
That's only 40%?
No, that makes kind of sense, right? If you're living in war-torn Angola.
Well.
No, but that's what their point is. Like that 40% are things that we can do, you know, either externally or physically to make ourselves happier. That's their point. Like if you are, I mean, you know, mental attitude is a big part of it. But I think what this study is saying is the point is that some of this stuff just is, and you got to learn to deal with it, that you can't change the way you're born, basically.
I heard this episode on Dr. Santos's podcast, and it blew my mind and changed everything I've ever thought about. Here's this point. We often grossly overestimate how much we think something will make us happy. So this is a total bingo square on the Smarticle podcast. Our memories are completely fallible. They talk about it all the time. You think that we have a key witness that got the bank robber coming out of the thing. We put him in jail for the rest of life. And the guys got the wrong. Your brain just is horrible under lots of circumstances. So if our brain can't remember things, our brain is also really bad at predicting things. So we think going to that party or this friend or this job is going to make us happy. And it turns out it's not.
You know, you always you have that little mantra, I call it a Larryism, where you're always like, don't people know this? Do you know, sleep or whatever it is that you're like, don't exercise. Don't they know? I mean, this is, to me, seems very obvious.
No, it doesn't.
That's, to me, Larry, as opposed to you, this seems very obvious. Like, hey, man, that they've written songs and poems and for thousands of years about the fact that, you know, things aren't going to bring you happiness.
No, that's not what they're saying. We're human beings, right? We've lived a life, some circumstances, and we've, in theory, put these memories in our bank to help us propel us forward in safety and life. You would think all that we've gathered in our lives is going to help us make decisions going forward.
Well, and decisions, but that's the same thing they call it, euphoric memory, right? That when you, like, people, it's why people drink too much over and over and over, because you only remember the good times. You don't remember the miserable hangovers you've had. So the euphoric memory is just remembering the good times. You know, one of the things I thought that I found in this that was fascinating was about the 40% that you think is much less than it should be. I love this idea of gratitude. We're trying to teach our daughter gratitude. She's an only child, and teaching gratitude's tough, man, to little kids. I never thought it would be that tough, but she basically had this thing about you know, enjoy those moments in your life. Like, enjoy that, seeing that sunrise, or enjoy that great cup of coffee. Don't race through it. Enjoy it. That donut, that perfect donut you're eating. Do not just race through it. Enjoy it.
Well, just along those lines about happiness, right? I love to go to a very fancy party with the best of foods where they're serving Dom Pérignon and my favorite people are there. And I think that those all things are going to make me happy. But I really hope that I could just sit in the park and stare at the sunset and just be as equally happy doing that than at my fancy party.
Yeah. It's funny you talk about parties. You know, people that know me, my wife especially, will tell you this. Like when I go to a party, because I'm a big dude, tall, I take up a lot of space, I always kind of post up in a corner somewhere. And I know people that, like, they got to go to different parties. They got to go to every room. They got to talk to every person. I'm the exact opposite. I sit in one spot and I wait for people to kind of, I'm like the Venus flytrap.
Yeah, but you're
of the
social,
party.
You like people.
I know, but that's not my point. My point is simply, I do that because of my physical size. But what I find by doing that is I have just as much enjoyment for me. Now, I'm not saying everybody has to do this, but for me, I find an incredible amount of enjoyment of just sitting in one spot and having the party kind of flow by me. There's something about that. You're just saying sitting in a park. It's about taking time to appreciate where you are in the moment. That's it. That's all I'm saying. I'm not saying that people should do that. I'm saying it's take a moment to enjoy what you're doing in the moment.
Lastly, our minds don't think in absolutes. We judge ourselves and our circumstances relative to other reference points, even if doing so makes us unhappy.
Eesh, that's rough.
Right?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Happiness is big. I almost can't wrap my head around
this.
That
is blowing one. This is blowing your mind, isn't it?
Well,
right?
No, I've listened to Lori Santos's and it's already changed my, because the wife will come home and be like, hey, we got to go to that thing at school. And I'm like, oh God, I hate those people. I don't want to go to that thing. And then I immediately think, oh, my brain doesn't know it's going to make me happy. My wife's making me go to this miserable thing. That thing might turn out, I might be the best person there. I might have the most fun I've ever had. It has completely transformed how I think.
Oh man, that's a good way to look at it. Because I think about how oftentimes I'm like, oh, I don't want to go do that.
Yeah.
And then when you go, it's like, I had a great time. Like, I wonder if you, I mean, just what you're saying is if you went to every event with the expectation of something good happening, more oftentimes you're going to find that good thing happening rather than times when it doesn't happen.
But I think that comes, and that's why I brought this up, because it's a reference point. Like, what's the reference point we're starting with? Are we starting with, well, this is going to suck, then it's probably going to suck. But if you go in kind of open-minded, then maybe you don't know.
Yeah, no, it makes perfect sense. I mean, it's funny. I guess I sort of esoterically understood that forever, but I think that until you said that, I don't know if I've ever really thought about it. It's like, yeah, if you just, I mean, people talk about having a positive mental attitude and all that stuff, blah, 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 blah. But mindset, mind growth, whatever, or mind, whatever it is, you know, growth mindset, you know, those things are really true. I think they could become a little bit of a platitude if you're not careful, but I don't think that's a platitude to simply say, hey, I'm going to go into this with the best possible intention and see where it takes me.
It's a little bit platitude-y. I like to think of it this way. I'm a 50-year-old grown-ass man who's lived a little bit in life. I got no freaking clue what's going to make me happy tonight. None. It is proven. I do not even know what's going to make me happy. And so I'm going to just have an open, I got to have an open mind because I don't know.
Yeah. And I think there's probably something in there about flexibility too, because I think about, you know, oh, I'm going to go to this thing. It's going to be great. I'm going to really love it. And then it turns out not so great. So, you know, having an open mind to seeing what's good out there as opposed to having an expectation one way or the other is probably better for you than the other way around.
I practiced this before we got on today. I said, I have no idea if Brandon's going to make me happy on the Smarticle podcast today. Before I hit the record button, I was like, you know what? Go with an open mind. And guess what? It turns out I was happy today, Brandon.
Oh, good, Larry, because I'm happy. And I'd like to thank you for teaching all of us all over the world that we can be happy by just sitting in a park and enjoying a sunset.